BlogTalkRadio.com.
The following program is not intended for children. It contains mild language, violence, sexual innuendo, wink wink, brief nudity, and deals with mature themes that some may find offensive. Parental discretion is advised.
The Wild Talk Radio Network now presents The Evolution in Online Pro Wrestling Sports Entertainment.
You on drugs?
Wrestle Talk Radio.
Everything that guy just says is bullshit.
Bringing you the news and everything else in the world of professional wrestling.
You will not use that kind of language in my court. You understand me?
Hosted by Tim Stein.
I'm wearing clothes.
The Omega.
I apologize, sir, but this is how I dress.
And the producer, Sir Rocket.
That's one hell of an ego you've got.
Special guest host this week, local indie wrestler, Keishi Matsunaga.
The informal, aren't we?
Hey, this is former WWE superstar Shawn Michaels, and you are listening to Wild Talk Radio.
It's me. It's that D-O-double-G Robin once again with Wild Talk Radio.
Hey, everybody, this is X-Pac with D-Generation X.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Let's get this cleared up right now.
And the free TuneIn app on your mobile device.
You were serious about that?
WTR, Sunday night.
Sit down and stay there until you're told to leave.
High gains for the bank. Don't you know it's all about the cash? Cha-ching. About the double profits as I stack them things. Okay. Make big bucks, change locks and rings. Bang. With my money. What? Give it to me. I ain't never been scared of money. What? Really truly, I'm always keeping very funky. Yeah. I make a movie. There's somebody in the way of me getting the juicy, juicy. Oh. Bank account getting bigger. Yeah, sir. Locks on my chain like glitter.
And welcome everyone to another edition of WTR Sunday Night Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. We just got done with a very strange pay-per-view. I'm hearing a buzz
Somebody who should have talked during the sound check and didn't. Anyway.
Anyway, we are on probably earlier than we've ever been on because this pay-per-view was quick and to the point.
Is this the takeover night?
I mean, yeah. I mean, we did see a lot of NXT talent on the show. Former NXT talent.
Former
anyway.
NXT talent, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, let's get on with it. We have a show to talk about, so we need to talk. This is the Omega, the be-all, end-all of the network. Joining us tonight, we have the producer, Sorokin.
Did you know that the risk is worth the reward?
Is it?
That's what they said, that the risk
is worth the reward. I'm not sure Rey Mysterio would agree with you right now.
Keshi, mute.
It's boots to asses.
Thanks,
time.
Matt, for 10 months. By the way, if you have Amazon Prime, you can link it to your Twitch account. It's called Twitch Prime. You can subscribe for free by hitting that purple rectangular button below the screen now. It's now below. They updated it. Now it went from above, now it's below. Just click the button. Support the channel.
So, yeah, as Rock alluded to, as the intro alluded to, we also have with us one Keishi Matsunaga.
Now he's afraid to talk, I think.
Someday all of our technical stuff will work.
We'll figure it out.
We'll figure it out. We'll get back to Keishi here in a minute. So
he's typing.
I think
he's typing in Morse code now by the buzzing.
Luckily, I'm just the intro guy. I don't have to run this show. That is up to one. Tim Stein.
So that happened. Hey, yeah, Matt, like, are you accusing me of something? It's not my microphone fucking up. It's Keishi who accidentally plugged his earphones into the mic jack.
I've done nothing different. My headset stays exactly where it is at all times. I don't have to go looking for it because I leave it plugged in.
Well, you see, maybe that's the problem because mine's working perfectly fine. Knucklehead. I'd like to take a quick second at the very top of the show here to say hello to a a former 100% full-time regular listener who has once again joined us. He's in the chat room right now. Swax has returned.
Holy crap, I've not heard that name in a long time.
Yeah, I guess he's back again.
He's been looking, he's been looking for you for 6 months, Tim.
Well, then he hasn't been looking very hard because I haven't gone very far from where I am right now, especially in the last 6 months.
He's here just about every Sunday.
Except for when we don't do any fucking shows. Anyway,
That's why I said just about every Sunday.
Just about, yeah. So good evening,
that
everybody.
Is that what happened? Swax looked every time we were on hiatus for the night?
No, he's coming to shows when I've been on the air where we've been done doing Fortnite. You know,
he's doing Friends with Fortnite, or he's doing Radio Show. Hey, where's Tim? He's on Sundays, Swax. How many times I gotta tell you?
He's worried when we're playing a video game on a video game platform. I know.
Are you gonna get banned for playing video games on video?
Anyway, we're here to talk about Money in the Bank.
Yeah,
and I built model kits on Twitch, so who the hell cares?
Yeah, there you go. Officially, he said, trying for the 12th time. Welcome to the Money in the Bank edition of WTR Sunday Night. Thanks for joining us, everybody. If you got a bunch of friends who are into wrestling, but they're not listening, hit them up. Send them a text, give them a phone call, email them, whatever. Let them know that we're live, early. And I did tell you that they started an hour early.
Oh no, they always start at 7 o'clock Eastern.
No, they don't.
Yes, they do.
No, they don't. They start at 8 o'clock Eastern normally.
No,
but
they do
this
not.
This is a slightly different circumstance. You're thinking pre-show. They started the pre-show an hour early.
Tim?
They did, because I'm usually driving home when the pre-show starts.
Tim?
Don't argue with me, you're wrong, period.
You're fucking wrong. Thank
you're
you.
You're fucking wrong.
They've been at 7 PM for at least 2 years now.
You're on dope. No way.
Chat, is Tim wrong? Yes, he is. Thank you very
Tim
much.
Is not wrong.
Tim is fucking wrong. Hashtag,
Tim is not wrong. Tim
hashtag
is right.
Hashtag Tim is fucking wrong.
Tim is not fucking wrong. Tim is right.
Tim is always coming home during the first
Larry,
month of every
what
paper
the heck? Now. You see, I'm talking over you right now.
I know you are, but Tim comes home through every.
But what
through,
am I?
During the first match, every single pay-per-view. So that's at
I'm
7 PM Eastern,
blue.
5 PM Mountain.
Bounces off me and sticks to you.
Good. Say hashtag Tim is always fucking wrong.
Yeah, all right. Intern, corner.
You can't send him to the corner. He's always in the corner, though.
Well, then
take
that's redundant. Okay, dude. Matt, corner.
Take away his cookies. That's what you got
to
do.
Matt, no apple crisp for you.
I meant Brent's cookies. Anyway, talk about pay-per-view.
Don't talk about Brent's cookie.
Cookies.
Thank you. But don't talk about them either.
Let's talk about a pay-per-view that had had a food fight on it.
Rock, do you remember when we used to do a wrestling show?
So we had a food fight on this pay-per-view. We had a Confused R-Truth. We had
Brother
Love.
Hold up.
A Confused R-Truth. Like, that's saying the sky's blue. Captain Obvious.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
We had Brother Love, a doink.
Just a doink.
Not the doink, a doink.
It's not
that
any
was,
of the doinks. It's just
that was not
it's the dollars. The dollar store doink.
That was not the fake doink. That was not the replacement doink. That was the replacement doink.
It's another new doink. Like, there's a wiki article out there for a doink that must be losing its mind keeping track of it.
So you
maybe
said
it's the office doink.
So you said it was a dollar store doink. So that's the one Tim can afford.
Oh, I can afford a lot more. I just happen to be really frugal. Oh, screw that. I won't use that word again. I'm cheap. Period.
Or other words. Anyway. Let's get into the show. Start at the beginning, Tim.
Well, the beginning was the pre-show, and the pre-show happened to be a lot of hype about the actual show itself. And that's, you know, the free view where they try to get you to buy the WWE Network so you get, a free month subscription, including Money in the Bank at no charge. But I'll tell you right now, I missed the 007 Cesaro entrance. I want it back.
With the tearaway suit?
Yep.
And that was a really good entrance.
I did like that entrance. What they've given him now as a replacement, in my opinion, sucks. And geez, you know, Jeff Hardy in that damn face paint. Dude, you're like 45 years old. Put away the face crayons.
I mean, go tell that to Dustin Rhodes.
There's that too.
Well, Dustin only does have his face now. Anyway.
Yes, it makes such a difference.
Oh, before we go on. By the way, for those people who like to write internet articles, quote the right person when we're doing interviews. Some people will interview Dustin Rhodes And then they think, oh my God, I got an interview with Dusty. So we're going to quote
oh,
it as
God.
Dusty that Rhodes.
Dumbest. You know, I read the article after you linked me to that. And I'm like, okay, I'm never reading this website again because they fucked some shit up big time. I mean, did they hire a medium and try to do a spiritual connection?
See, the joke in my head was the only way you're doing an interview with Dusty is with a Ouija board. But
they legit quoted Dusty Rhodes talking about AEW and working with MJF. True story. That's what one website decided.
I'm trying to remember what I said to you as soon as I read that then.
I don't remember. It's been so long. But it was an interview with Dustin and they confused it with Dusty. Anyway, tangents match. That's thoughts on the match. Oh my God. Hardy and Cesaro.
I mean, fine enough for what it was. Before I forget, rest in peace, the return of Jeff's music, which is now back to the generic Hardy Boy theme.
Yeah,
that lasted one show.
One show.
What, was there a write-in protest campaign or something?
No.
Jeff's been campaigning for a while to get his original solo music back.
Yeah.
And they finally said,
it's back.
Thanks, Matt, for the gifted sub. Anyway, continue.
They had it back on SmackDown. He came out to it, and now here in the pay-per-view, just normal Hardy music again.
So anyway, it was a basic match.
Yeah. Cesaro is the person you put out there in the ring to make sure someone who's coming back, you know, is okay, because he is just kind of a master at making everyone look good in the ring.
This is true. And he does a good job of it. And he's one of those wrestlers that, any promoter will look at and give him, you know, slip a little bonus in his pay envelope for what he does. Casey, I don't think I ever gave you a pay bonus, did I?
There's a reason for that, Tim.
for the two or three of you tuned in who don't know, I own Canadian All Pro Wrestling. It's on indefinite hiatus. Casey actually wrestled shows for me every show. And he got his standard $10 and a plate of chicken wings.
They were good chicken wings, though.
Well, I made them myself, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm a good cook. I'm a home cook. I wrote a cookbook. Ask me about it later. Anyway, but yeah, no, Cesaro, like I was saying, he's one. This is the one thing that crosses my eyes, and Rock and Omega are a little bit more insider than the average smart wrestling fan. As far as all of that stuff goes, we as fans want to see our favorite wrestlers win the title and win and all this other shit. But to pull the curtain back just a little tiny bit, he should never have tweeted it out. But was it BG James who said the titles don't matter?
Yeah, he said the titles don't matter, wins and losses don't matter.
Technically speaking, he's correct, but he never should have actually come out and said that. The titles don't matter. In an independent promotion, you're going to give your biggest draw, the biggest name on your card, the belt to run with to get it established. You're not establishing the wrestler. The wrestler is establishing the belt. Okay. And, from there, you decide who, is going to get the biggest reaction, either positive or negative, holding that belt. And that's how it goes. And then you have the enhancement talent. The enhancement talent is usually the best workers on your roster, as opposed to enhancement in, talent in any sport, real, like baseball or football or, yeah, or basketball, hockey, whatever. The enhancement talent in hockey, it's your fourth line player. In basketball, it's the guys that can't do anything except, guard and block, and they don't have any other, abilities to do anything else. In wrestling, your enhancement talent is more important than the people you're putting your belts on, nine times out of ten, right, Casey?
I mean, if you don't have good enhancement talent, the guys with the belts aren't gonna get over. So, I don't know. I always looked at it as like, you're only as good as the weakest link of your wrestling show.
Yeah.
So if you don't have good enhancement talent, you're not going to have good matches. You're not going to draw well. And it doesn't matter who's holding the title if they can't have a good match with somebody.
Yeah. And it's a deceptive talent to be good at being a enhancement talent. You know, if you'd look at like from a writing standpoint, one of the hardest things for a comedian to do is write intentionally bad comedy.
Yep.
And make it sound like it's an actual effort. You know, if that's the joke, is it someone's bombing on stage? If you're writing a bit where a comedian is supposed to be failing here, being obvious about being not funny as the joke is really fucking hard. It's hard to take a craft you're designed to be good at and make it sound or look bad for yourself.
Or somebody else.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the reason why I went into depth on that is because, during the pay-per-views, during the wrestling shows, I pay attention to what's being said on social media, particularly Twitter. People are pissed off that Cesaro is on the free show, that he's not being given title runs and all this other stuff. And I'm like, dude, come on. And so I wanted to take a few minutes while we were talking about this and put it out there why Cesaro, doing what he did to get Jeff Hardy over in Jeff Hardy's return match, is such a big deal, more so than him being in the title picture. Guys like this, they get rewarded, you know, air quotes, down the road. As far as the fans are concerned, they're rewarded. They get their chances with the title. It's not that they're not good as title holders. They're more valuable. It's like Natty Neidhart falls into the same category. She is, without question, one of the best female wrestlers the WWE has right now. People don't realize that because she is used to get everybody over. When Charlotte came up from NXT, who did she have a program with? Natty. What did Natty do? Natty made Charlotte.
Natty's basically the gatekeeper of the women's division. If you can't have a good match with Natty, you're probably not going to last very long.
Which is hard to put out there because Natty is one of those wrestlers that could get a broomstick over. So
I mean, I love that analogy because we have Perry Saturn as a literal example of that.
Yeah, actually getting that match over when he wrestled the broom. Or what? No, was it a broom mop. Or a mop? The mop.
Moppy.
Moppy. God, it's been a while.
So, met their end in a wood chipper.
Yeah. So as far as the opening, you know, the free show match, it was good for what it was. Jeff got his win back. Everybody, who hadn't yet gotten WWE Network, had a chance to see a couple of names wrestle. And, it was the free warm up. It did its job, guys.
It got that crowd hype.
Yeah, I'll tell you, that crowd was loud tonight.
Especially when R-Truth was in the ring.
Oh, enjoyable. So that was the pre-show. Anybody else have anything else to say about it?
Main show time.
Here we go.
That's where you talk about the main show.
Well, I was just waiting for you to set things up because that's what you normally do on pay-per-views. Because I have to cook dinner and you take notes.
I took no notes. It's the SmackDown Tag Team Title match. It's the New Day versus Miz and Morrison versus Lucha House Party and the Forgotten Sons.
Oh my goodness, I forgot that the Forgotten Sons were in the match.
Ha, ha. So, we had, if you're playing WWE Bingo, you had your Spanish Fly moment in this match. Because there can't be a show, pay-per-view without a Spanish Fly. But at least this one was to the outside of the ring on about 17 wrestlers. So it made it different.
I also got a little confused with that one for a second. I thought Morrison was going to do it. And then it almost looked like he jumped first and Spanish flew himself.
Yeah. And then Metalik almost like planted his head in the ground, but thankfully there was 10 other wrestlers there to catch him.
Yeah, it took me half a second to figure out what exactly happened there.
A little confusing, a little bit. But this was a pretty good match.
Yeah.
Again, the key word is entertaining. along with this, with Spanish Fly, you know, it had a couple of spots during the match.
It had spots. They're saying, oh, there's no DQ and then anything can happen. And then, what's his bucket got tossed out of the match? Jackson Riker.
Yeah, Riker is like, this hat. What are you doing? What?
There's no DQ, so let's get rid of the guy who was causing chaos. Okay.
At least the commentary awesome. Picked up on it and said it to everybody.
Mm-hmm. Because that's what you want, is for them to point out the logic holes in your own wrestling match.
Or lack thereof.
So, in the end, it was pretty good. Big E took a lot of punishment. I thought Kofi felt off in this match. He was I don't know what it was. He just seemed off.
Kofi, I've noticed, Kofi has not felt like himself in the MD Arena shows.
I think that Kofi, he's one of those guys that actually feeds off the live crowd. You do get some people here and there who, when they get that energy, that, you know, they get their energy from the feedback, and it's a case of, well, was this any good? I don't know. So, it's almost like he probably possibly has some kind of insecurity that you never notice when the live crowd is there, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I could see that. I mean, he's also a high adrenaline wrestler. So when you have no crowd, that's not an easy spot to be in.
Yeah, this is true. This is true. But you know, that ties into it again with the crowd feedback. It helps build your adrenaline
for sure.
So yeah, but yeah, no, no shit. Guys, this entire pay-per-view, entertained me. I liked the match. The fact that the New Day retained the titles, kind of sort of low key thinking it'd be kind of cool to see Miz and Morrison get them back, but at the same time, I'm glad they didn't, just because of how it hot shots the title a little bit, sort of.
But also, New Day doesn't actually need the belts, but here we are with their eighth title reign.
Well, maybe they're going for the record.
Hey, what are we going to do right now? Because right now, WWE, like, especially on SmackDown, like, you've got nothing but mongrel teams and complete newbies. You know, you don't have, because we had a round of cuts after WrestleMania that gutted an already thin tag division.
This is absolutely true.
You keep it on the New Day just until you get some things built. If you want to get the Forgotten Sons over, fine. Maybe Heavy Machinery gets back into it. If we can find Tucker at this point.
I think Tucker is somewhere that no one knows about at this point because, well, Otis is a star. We'll get to that later.
Yeah. But, yeah, so that was the SmackDown title match.
Up next, it's MVP versus R-Truth.
No, it's not.
Oh, wait. No, he gets the night off.
And here's the thing. Before we continue with this, as of now, I'm officially wiping this particular match right off of Pick'em. Doesn't matter who you picked. It's neither a yes nor a no.
No, it should count.
No, cause they changed the match.
That's because they all picked Truth.
They changed the match.
But even if we had picked MVP, we would have all been wrong.
Yeah, there's literally no way to get this one right, so fuck you.
Yeah. So this one doesn't count for Pick'em. So if you picked Truth, don't worry about it. If you picked MVP, don't worry about it.
Don't worry about it, because you thought MVP was going to win.
But I had a win. I picked MVP. Anyway.
Yeah, well, you lost because it was Bobby who won.
I lose. You guys lost. You picked R-Truth.
No, you lost because you picked MVP. And MVP did not win.
His replacement won. So that's
doesn't matter. That's his replacement is not MVP.
That's half a point.
No, you don't even get that.
MVP, no, MVP forfeited the match.
Did he? I don't think he did.
He walked off.
I don't think he did. By the way.
Of course not, because you picked MVP.
I know. By the way, this comes.
And it doesn't count. By the way. So no, you're not even getting half a fucking point. Quit digging.
By the way, this entire conversation lasted longer than the entire match, which went 1 minute and 40 seconds.
Yeah, just so you know, he's absolutely correct. I was timing it. The conversation at the match.
I am super happy about R2's shtick on the way to the ring and that he did it as if there was a crowd there. That was everything. That was the best part of the match.
R-Truth is the best. Him then later on in the night challenging Tom Brady for the 24/7 championship.
I'm all for it. Tom Brady. He meant Gronkowski.
I'm all for him going up to Tom Brady and trying to pin Tom Brady. Let's see it happen.
Hey, at least he got the right team.
He did.
This is true.
But then but then in R-Truth fashion, he's going to show up in New England to try to get the belt and realize Tom's not there.
Oh yeah, God, I hope he does.
This is true. Now I want to see him actually, you know, air quotes, travel to New England, even though they're not really going to do it.
I mean, when football comes back this fall, I mean, they need content, you know, long ways away. But hey, there you go. Lashley won. Next.
Isn't it the women's title match for SmackDown?
It is Bayley with Sasha taking on Tamina for the SmackDown Women's Championship.
I'll give it to Tamina. She showed up.
I had zero expectations for this matchup, and they lived up to it.
And then some.
On Thursday, I just, it's like, this is going to be bad. And this wasn't bad. It wasn't bad. Okay. Up until the point where Tamina had to run after Sasha, and then Sasha had to like slow her ass down trying to escape the ring.
I'm looking at the mat and I'm like, is she supposed to like be selling that she tripped over her necklace that fell off?
You could tell as soon as she had to start running after people, like her knees must have sounded like the Tin Woodsman running around.
Take a stick of celery in each hand and bend your hands.
So why this matchup was okay is Tamina was on the mat 70% of the time. So Bailey worked around her. So that was smart.
I also enjoyed Bailey yelling at the commentators because she could hear everything that they said.
Yeah, that was good.
Bailey knows how to work a crowd when there's no crowd there.
She's actually really good at it.
Yeah.
Bailey did a very, very good job. Actually, Bailey made Tamina look pretty darn okay tonight. Let's be unbiased and sincere about that. It's Sasha that made Tamina look bad.
I wouldn't go that far. I think Tamina made herself look bad. Also, her hair was starting to look weird towards the end because it's the longest she's probably worked in forever, so.
It's her sweat plus the water Bailey threw at her.
Yeah, it just.
Which yeah. I'm convinced was an actual attempt to keep her conscious.
Well, you know, when you've got that kind of hair, it frizzes really easily in the humidity.
Right.
Yes, because they had no air conditioner in the WWE Performance Center.
They only had that one fan.
Shh, kayfabe, come on.
They had one fan. Did you see them?
No, there were no fans. That was the point.
Well, that's not true for every match we had tonight. Bray had fans.
This is true.
Wait, that matches up next. Anyway, Bailey retained the title. Okay. So from here is where the pay-per-view starts to get really good. Like, it was not bad up to the next match, Omega.
This is the part where it starts getting interesting.
This is
and
where
things start getting weird.
Yep. So.
Really, really fun.
You either really like this or you didn't based on Twitter. Bray Wyatt.
That's pretty much the consensus with every weird thing WWE has to do right now.
Yeah. But people had a very strong stance against this. Anyway, Bray Wyatt, Braun Strowman, Universal title. This was all about storytelling. It was character development, which I guess apparently is a bad thing in wrestling. Character development. Anyway, this was good.
Okay, here it is. I'm just going to say this right now. Everybody on Twitter who disagrees with me is wrong.
Okay, that's an incorrect statement because people can disagree with you on Twitter. Because
I'm being generic. And don't be a wise ass.
Because you say some things on Twitter that just need to be corrected.
Oh, yeah, but I do it on purpose just to get your goat because I know you're reading.
Not really. Anyway.
But yet you still know about it.
I'm just making general comments. Let's get into the
match. No, doesn't count.
Thoughts on the match?
I loved it. Keishi.
Yeah, I thought it was good.
Talk about it in depth, man.
In depth. I thought Bray did a really good job as Bray. Doing Bray things, and less Fiend things. He did a good job getting his butt kicked. The whole thing at the end was good. You could tell that he was talking to himself, ? When he's like, oh, I told you. Yeah, I don't know, all around I thought it was done really well. I mean, you could see it like 6 billion miles away that Braun was just messing around, but
it worked.
Yeah, it worked really good. Yeah. And I thought like the way that Bray worked this match as Bray was done very, very well. So even if like down the road, if they keep Bray and kind of like nix the Fiend stuff, I think he's going to be just fine as like slightly off his rocker kid show Bray Wyatt.
And we moved away from more the funhouse, happy-go-lucky Bray when Huskus showed up and sort of like got him motivated to become old Bray Wyatt in a way.
Yeah. And that whole like, look what you made me do thing was good. Like you could tell that Bray Wyatt was like, I don't want to do this. And then as the match slowly progressed, like he got more and more kind of fiendish, but didn't go all the way.
He was more swamp than fiend, Bray. Tonight,
yeah.
Which is what you needed compared to the match he had against The Miz in December where he was more just, I'm not really going to do much. I'm just here to be happy-go-lucky. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Omega.
I like when they remember that Braun actually has something between his ears. I get the feeling that they, it's really easy to just write him as the big powerhouse monster all the time.
Which is also lazy writing.
It is. It is. And we've seen it a lot, but every now and then it's like, well, let's have him like out. Let's have him messing with Elias with a giant cello. Okay. You know, and that it shows some actual, like, other sides to Braun. You know, it's why him and Alexa Bliss worked so well. It was like, oh, there's actually something else to Braun. And now here he is actually trying to play a mind game. And he does it with Bray, and it actually works. It makes him look smart. It makes him look like he doesn't have to just be, like, overpowering to win his matches. He can actually be intelligent. He can actually work some psychology.
What helps it where he can trust the person that he's in the ring with. And
oh, yeah.
By the way, Bray and Braun are actual best friends, so they trust one another to do things together in the ring, and you can see Braun's being very confident, and we should praise WWE for giving us a really good Universal Championship match. It's been about 3 months.
It's more than chemistry. It's like a synergy, which is like three steps up from chemistry. The entire thing, there hasn't been a better story told in any wrestling ring in WWE. Well, like you said, at least 3 months.
Well, I was just taking shots at Goldberg. But yeah,
yes, I know you were.
Not just me. There was a comment in chat, WWE doesn't want to use The Fiend. That is an incorrect statement.
Oh God, they're desperate to use The Fiend.
No. The Fiend, look, they actually figured out that The Fiend should be an occasional act. It should be an event when The Fiend shows up. Like, they are not, it's not that they don't want to use The Fiend, it is that they are protecting The Fiend so that we can actually use Bray Wyatt without like doing more damage to this like super good persona he's got.
Remember The Demon.
The Demon got, yeah, cause like, oh well, pay-per-view's coming up and
oh,
they
just we
announced
want The Demon.
It's going to be The Demon. Okay, you don't
need The Demon.
The Demon was effective when he just showed up. Like, you didn't know. When you didn't know which Finn Balor was going to come out from the entranceway, that's when The Demon worked best.
Yep. And it took WWE like a year to realize when he's on, you know, with him being on the Raw roster, oh shit, we better not keep doing this. If you got something that's good, you're in danger of burning it out, because it, as much as you love it today, 6 months from now, you're going to be tired of it if you get it every month. So it's the anticipation. It's like, okay, are we going to get it? No. Oh, when do we get to, well, you know, it keeps building it up. You get like, I wanted The Demon. Yeah, of course you want The Demon, but you're not getting them. Because when we finally give them to you, you're going to go through the goddamn roof. And that's what we want.
And with The Fiend, he has to be driven out. There has to be a purpose behind The Fiend.
Don't just bring him up for shits and giggles.
And because it's Bray Wyatt's warped, deranged mind, when that time comes, he'll show, as by the teasers at the end of the match.
But that being said, when Bray comes out to wrestle as Funhouse Bray, he can't always be doing the jobs all the time, which is what is like kind of what's going on.
He's now what? Did he beat The Miz? I thought he beat The Miz. Anyone remember? Intern? Did he beat The Miz? Because if he did, then he's if Bray Wyatt, it's 1-on-1. But we need.
You know
to
what? I can't remember. Holy shit!
I think it may have ended in DQ. I think it was a DQ. I'm gonna go check. Anyway. We have buzzing because Casey's mic is buzzes. He killed The Miz and then tried to squash him with the mallet and Bryan showed up.
Okay, that's
so,
what
so
happened.
So The Fiend is 1-on-1 then. Okay, so he's 1-on-1.
I mean, like, when you bring The Fiend out, yeah, let The Fiend have the mini undefeated winning streak. That's fine. But when Funhouse Bray is wrestling, he can't continually lose is my point, right?
Right. So he,
yeah, you actually. Yeah, you actually have to show that Bray can still go without The Fiend.
So, yeah, so he's
otherwise, otherwise you know, oh, well, it's normal Bray, he's gonna lose.
Yeah, so he's one, a regular Bray is 1-on-1, so you keep it 50-50 long term, it's not that bad.
You know, you keep it going one way or the other, one up above the other, but split it up. But at the same time, when he finally breaks out The Fiend, do it 4 times a year, or 3 times a year, and The Fiend always wins. And then, regular TV have the Fiend show up and decimate like the, like he was doing when he first came out as the Fiend. So wrestling matches just come out and fuck people up and leave.
So we'll see the Fiend next month at Backlash.
This is the thing. The end of this match sets up some kind of a rematch between sets up a match between Braun and the Fiend.
Imagine that storytelling.
This storytelling is, like I said, it's among the best story, telling that WWE has done. I was riding on you a little bit with the minimum 3 month thing, but it's been quite a long time since such a complete full, story has been told in the ring. Really, it has.
Anything else for this match?
Braun retains and, that's all there is to it.
Okay. Next match is the WWE Championship. Drew McIntyre versus the Monday Night Messiah and his new music, Seth Rollins.
Yeah, and I still maintain that I'm surprised that the Bible Belt hasn't been an uproar over this Monday Night Messiah thing.
Nobody's watching anymore, Tim. Haven't you seen the ratings are bad?
Oh, that's the reason. In the 60s, the Bible Belt was burning Beatles music because John Lennon said the Beatles were more popular than Jesus Christ. He was right. They just didn't like that.
No one watches WWE anymore. No one cares, so it doesn't matter. They're dying.
Bullshit! Anyway.
This was a fine match.
This was damn good. I enjoyed this match from start to finish, and Seth did the enhancement talent thing tonight that we talked about at the beginning of the show.
Yeah, he put over the underdog, Drew McIntyre.
Yeah, fuck.
Why the hell did they even put that out into the universe? You got a foot of height and, you know, an extra 50 pounds of muscle on your opponent tonight. You just beat
but you're the underdog.
Big Show the same night, but you're the underdog.
And you're the guy that destroyed the former champion, Brock Lesnar. Oh, but you're going up against somebody else who also happened to beat Brock Lesnar. Yeah, so what?
Yeah, he also lost at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
But then why did he get a title shot?
I don't know.
I thought we were the people who are supposed to know that.
Because there's no one left. Everyone else is doing other things at the moment, so.
Right.
Curb stomps. He did curb stomps. That's why he got the title shot. Curb stomps.
There you go. Yeah, it was the curb stomps. Yeah.
Yeah. Nothing. Yeah.
There you go.
Did you see the replay? He was, you know, like, he cashed in on Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania and won, and no one else was involved.
Well, that and last Monday, he one-upped Drew McIntyre. And left Drew McIntyre, Drew McIntyre was left lying in the ring, right? To make it look like that Drew McIntyre might be in trouble. That's what happened, right? He didn't get up and almost hit a claymore on Seth Rollins where he ran away.
I'm just going to back up a little bit. I'm chuckling over, Omega, and, the cashing in the money in the bank at WrestleMania and there's nobody else involved. And I'm just picturing, Brock Lesnar going out there and suplex sitting like an armful of air because, yeah, Roman wasn't involved.
God, I don't know what the hell WWE is doing right now.
And sometimes you got to wonder, but yeah.
At least the match was good.
I get the work. You're working at building up your Monday Night Messiah and everything. That's all fine and dandy. But yeah, I'm sorry. Drew, underdog, didn't work. Don't do that again.
It's the same shit you did with Roman Reigns. The man is like, if you turned a Sherman tank into a human being, there's at no point should you call him an underdog.
I heartily agree. Especially if you're going to have him come out after the champion Brock Lesnar decimates half of the entrance to the Royal Rumble before he comes out and Claymore kicks him over the top rope. Anyway, yeah. Matt, I don't know what else to say except that the match was highly enjoyable, very entertaining. I liked it. I liked what Seth did. It's not like they needed to do anything to get Drew even more over, but if he needed it, he got it tonight.
What do you think of the end?
I was trying to figure out where were they going with booking the handshake? Yeah, that's the end you're talking about, I'm assuming.
Yeah.
I even asked Rock and the fucker never responded because he didn't have an answer. But I'm like, what are they doing? Are they like trying to make Drew super babyface, or is this sort of a very subtle way of bringing Seth back to the good side?
oh, hell no. This is to show Seth's hypocrisy. This was to show, like, look, Drew is going to be the bigger man in the ring and out of the ring.
Yeah. Keep going with your thoughts.
It's like, cause the storyline here was that you are not a leader. Seth Rollins is a leader.
Mm-hmm.
So now here we have Drew leading by example, and he's going to be the bigger man and actually respect his opponent.
Yeah.
Even after defeating him.
What do you think, Cash?
Hold on before you go. Also, Tim, oh. I never saw the question because you posted an article that just pushed it all the way up.
Oh, okay. Well, that's why you never fucking asked.
I never saw the question. Go on, Keshi.
Keshi.
Yeah.
Okay, Keshi, so, shit for mispronouncing your name.
Team chat, Koshi. I am, what? Koshi?
Koshi. He said Koshi, yeah. Anyway.
I am Koshi. So, yeah. I mean, they could go two ways with that. Obviously, you know, showing that Drew McIntyre is the bigger man is the babyface way to go. And there's also a chance that they could have Seth go on Raw tomorrow and be like, and kind of be like, I shook his hand even though he beat me. That's why I'm the Messiah and I'm the leader, blah, blah, blah. So he could lean on that very hard and go like, full on heel, basically creating his own narrative of why he's better because he shook Drew's hand if they want to kind of keep it going.
You see, what I picked up on the whole thing was, Drew was mocking him with that handshake. That may be a little subtle for some people to pick up, but Omega, do you get it?
Kinda, sorta.
He's mocking Seth. The whole, yeah, okay, he's being the bigger man, but he's mocking Seth by doing it because Seth's supposed to be the leader, right?
I feel like if he didn't tell Seth, like at the end, if he didn't say what he said to Seth about being like, thank you, that was what I needed to be a man, shake my hand.
Yep.
Like that didn't really indicate to me that he was mocking him. If he had said something like, if he stuck his hand out and been like, this is what being a leader is, that might have been more of a mocking, but it kind of seemed like more along the lines of Drew was like trying to be the bigger man and being like, hey, that was a great match. I'm the baby face, so I'm going to extend my handshake. And if you're the man that you say you are, you'll shake my hand back. It was a very big baby face thing for me. I didn't see any mocking.
Yeah. Okay. Drew McIntyre on Twitter. Thank you at WWE Rollins. Hell of a fight. Now on to the next hashtag and still.
Yeah.
This isn't him mocking. This is him literally just being the bigger man.
Yep. Okay. No, that works. That works.
Now it's time.
I'm sorry. I just finally clicked on that link you posted.
There. Now it's time, that link is appropriate, for our main event talk. Money in the Bank ladder matches.
Thank you.
Daniel Bryan, Rey Mysterio, Aleister Black, King Corbin, Otis, and AJ Styles for the men, and Shayna Baszler, Nia Jax, Asuka, Dana Brooke, Lacey Evans, and Carmella for the women. Inside WWE headquarters.
Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Why are you saying thank you?
Because I enjoyed the shit out of this.
Yeah, it was basically everything I wanted.
Thank you for the entertainment. It was so good. Right from the start where Asuka jumped off the balcony onto everybody and then ran for the elevator.
Smartest woman.
Well, the smartest woman would have, instead of jumping down, would have hopped over the rail and started running upstairs, but...
Yeah, because apparently the stairs are as fast as taking the elevator in Titan Towers.
Yeah, to get up one floor?
Maybe.
They have to crank it, so it takes a while. So we had some cameos. We mentioned earlier there was a Doink cameo. But there was a bathroom incident.
Oh god. Brother Love looking at Ray. I love you! And he's zipping up his fly while he says it. Don't ever do shit like that again, WWE.
That's the head of SmackDown Creative. It was a fun spot.
It was funny.
So that's what counts. So they brawled everywhere through Titan Towers. They entered the conference room.
Dana Brooke is a dummy.
She should have taken that briefcase that's actually filled with money and rent.
That was hilarious. Steph. Thank you, Steph. And yeah, can you clean that up?
Nice drooling.
Thank you, Steph, in a clip that clearly wasn't filmed elsewhere.
Or like at a different time of day.
Yeah.
I totally believe that she was in the same room.
Nia Jax is drooling. It's disgusting. That was funny.
So there's a lot to take in here. There's a lot to examine.
You said take. That's a good segue. AJ Styles.
I was gonna say the best part of this is AJ Styles in the hallway.
And the photo of the Undertaker.
Oh, that gets better from there, kids.
Then he finds, I guess, the Undertaker's office? Question mark?
Just I mean, he's been there long enough that they would give him one.
So that's where they keep his coffin desk.
So it was
the urn was there.
The urn was there. There were coffins. There was the lighting. AJ had flashbacks. War flashbacks to the Boneyard match. So what made that whole segment was Aleister Black.
I was about to say, Aleister Black kicking him, dropping him to the floor, and closing the door on him.
It wasn't the
kick. No!
It wasn't the kick. It wasn't the door closing. It was Aleister smirk as he walked by.
Yeah,
the look after he did it was,
yeah.
It was perfect. Mm-hmm.
Then, ladies and gentlemen, we had Paul Heyman.
Oh my God. That's hilarious. He picks up a piece, it was either sliced strawberry or watermelon. I think it was watermelon. And gives it a dirty look, throws it back in the bowl, goes to touch the fork with the salad. No. Next thing, there it is. The pastrami sub sandwich. And then everybody comes in.
Were we also all to believe that Paul Heyman was like sitting at that food table all by himself preparing
his food order.
Yeah.
Even that was all dinner.
Like he ordered the fruit just so he could throw it away.
Why did I order this? Okay. That is a very Paul Heyman thing.
Oh, it is.
It is.
It is very on brand.
Oh, it was just absolutely wonderfully done.
I just love this idea that this whole banquet table is just like his Uber Eats just pulled up 5 minutes ago in like a van to drop this off.
The only thing I'm disappointed in is that Paul actually never took a bite of that sub. I don't know why. I wanted him to take a bite of that sandwich.
It also would have been good if he took like a giant napkin and like tucked it in his collar. Like he was actually like he was letting everybody know that it was like, my name is Paul Heyman and I'm going to eat this whole table.
So they had an entire.
I'm imagining an oversized knife and fork in his hands now.
Should have been. So they.
I just pictured that. Thanks. As soon as you said it.
They had an entire food fight with the men and the women. Shayna choked out Ray.
Yeah. Yeah, you want to say food fight, but like the whole start to the food fight. Thank you, Otis.
Yeah.
Looking like he's having a foodgasm in the middle of absolutely throttling that sandwich right before he yells out food fight. And I had images pop into my head from the movie Animal House with John Belushi yelling it out.
No, it's funny. The recap I'm reading says Otis did his best John Belushi from Animal House by yelling food fight.
Oh, that's ironically funny.
So Otis then found his way elsewhere.
People power.
He found his way into the kitchen area and found pies and John Laurinaitis showed up and on a scooter apparently and took a pie to his face. Poor his suit, his nice white suit.
I felt bad about the pie being destroyed. It looked tasty. I think it was blueberry.
Was blueberry. So then
my second favorite pie, blueberry pie.
Then there was a dude mopping the floor. Just casually.
Just some guy.
Some random guy.
How many people were wondering who was going to go flying, land on their ass after slipping?
You knew someone would slip because they're running through. Dana genuinely looked like she cracked her skull.
Yeah. Yeah, it did.
Yeah. That looked like a rough landing. That was cool. I hope she's okay.
So after the women get wet and wild with the mop, we see Aleister Black, AJ Styles, and Daniel Bryan fighting, and then just Bryan and AJ, and well, they ended up in an office. There's a weird dinosaur thing on
T-Rex skull.
T-Rex
that
skull.
Was the skull. Rex.
They walked into the office and there's this giant fossil there, also a T-Rex skull.
Oh, thank you for the joke.
And then
I was hoping you'd make it.
We're in Vince McMahon's office and they're like, get out! So before they leave, they push the chairs back in and then they leave.
Well, you act like a real coward in there. You're the one who said we should face the chairs. I did, didn't I?
So what was it?
Moments like mess up.
We it was Vince's office. I mean, still Vince McMahon. I mean, by God. Then there's fighting. Corbin yells, "I'm going to the roof!" After he took down AJ, and we're on the roof.
God. There, just before we get to this, since this is where we have like something that resembled a wrestling match,
I guess
the one thing I will give Corbin in this is there's a moment at the beginning of this match where he attempts to murder Daniel Bryan with a weight.
Oh, yeah. Daniel ducks out of the way.
Because WWE is already planning to dump this tower anyway and move to a new headquarters. So who the hell cares if they start breaking shit?
But the look on his face after he breaks the mirror and hits the wall.
He was stunned for like a good 30 seconds. Like there's actually like a moment where it looked like something dawned in his head of, oh, I just tried to kill a man.
And oh shit, that's coming on my paycheck.
That was the thought I got when I saw the look on his face. Not the holy shit, I almost killed a man. Oh fuck, that's gonna cost me.
So we had Asuka, Nia, and Lacey, in the ring. Nia is still Nia. No matter how you edit around her, she's still Nia. Asuka's up on the ladder. And then Baron Corbin shows up, wanting his briefcase, and Asuka's like, nope, knock you down.
But why was he trying to stop her from grabbing a different briefcase? It made no sense.
He was trying to stop her from grabbing the men's Money in the Bank briefcase, because it looked like that's what she was reaching for.
But it also looked like he couldn't tell that was Asuka.
Yeah.
It's like, stop touching my briefcase, weird feminine Rey Mysterio. No, Corbin. No, that's Asuka. Other
that's
case.
Asuka, Baron. That's Asuka.
Why are you stopping her, you moron?
Oh, shit.
So anytime a woman beats up Baron Corbin, I'm kind of happy.
Anytime anybody beats up Baron Corbin, I'm happy.
Okay, this is a very valid point.
So Asuka would then pull down the briefcase and become Miss Money in the Bank 2020. And then Michael Cole showed back up with commentary.
I'm excited to see what Asuka does to that briefcase.
Yeah, it's worth noting at this point, we have no commentary for this match. We have a lot more cinematic angles. We have a lot more interesting angles that WWE doesn't normally get to play with.
I'm sorry, go ahead. I'll throw it in a minute.
And we have background music. I'm like, thank you, God. Give me some background noise. If I don't have a crowd, give me something to convey energy.
Thank you for bringing up the background music. It was very, very quiet to start with. But the other thing I noticed, Omega, they put in sound effects.
That I would have to come back and catch.
They put in sound effects, but they kept everything really quiet right up until the end. And then it started to crescendo. Did you notice it slowly got louder, the music?
Oh, yeah.
It was perfect.
You could do that for, like, entire matches, because you can have music where, you know, if you want it to sound more intense, like, you flip a button and another layer of music comes up, another instrument gets added in, and it sounds, you know, it gets bigger. It gets more energetic.
Now, let me ask you, if WWE started doing this in, you know, on their TV shows, the crowd free, right now, it's kind of weird not to hear anything. Yeah. Would that work?
No.
When they're in the performance center?
No.
And you get the dramatic music and stuff like that, that gives you the cue changes and stuff?
No.
It'd be hard to play something like that when they're doing a live show.
It wouldn't work because then it makes this stuff less special.
Thank you for answering, Omega.
You're welcome, Tim.
Yeah, shot at Rock. I was asking Omega.
At the same time, we're not going to have this forever, so I don't think it really needs that. I think right now you have to, because you have such a lack without a crowd during the matches, you need to make the matches special. You need to do something.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, it's going to make something like this less special, but at the same time, there's a lot more going into this, you know, something like this than there is just like your typical Raw or SmackDown match. You need something so it's not, it feels like dead air and Michael Cole rambling.
They had background filler for the Boneyard match, right?
They had dramatic, oh, yeah. They had dramatic music.
And yep. It worked wonderfully well, but again, the Boneyard match and the Money in the Bank match were presented as cinematic experiences, not wrestling matches. It's like we were watching a movie of wrestling.
Agreed.
And something like that, even when the crowds come back. I still hope that they realize the gold that they have with stuff like this and still give us something every now and then.
Like something like that on like the big four.
I mean, is that a goofy thing to want, Omega?
Not at all. Like this, you know, it's the same thing that happens in WWE where weird circumstances leads to opportunity. We see guys, you know, right now we have Braun Strowman as the Universal Champion because, you know, Goldberg in his creative control said, oh, I want to beat The Fiend because my character wouldn't lose to a villain like The Fiend. And then the next match said, I'm done. So put this on somebody else. I'm leaving. So yeah, we have the same situation where it's, they have to do something different because, you know, there's nothing else they can do right now. And it led to discovering something and it should be preserved. There should be a match like this at the big four pay-per-views, would not complain about at all.
Now, what would the live crowd think having to watch it on the Titantron though? You can't answer that question, by the way.
Well, you can't, no.
Yeah. It's an impossible question.
No,
that is
in fact incorrect. You can, because if you think back, they've done things on Raw where they've had cinematic moments. The ultimate deletion.
You do have things like ultimate deletion.
And
you have things like
the House of Horrors.
Yeah. Or any, let's be honest, most hardcore matches from the late 90s, where most of it happens backstage.
Oh, speaking of that, remember the 96 SummerSlam where they were all, the front row was watching their small TVs for the Boiler Room Brawl?
Yeah. Yeah.
Boy, they all look bored. Just looking at small televisions, because reasons. Anyway, this match still was going on, by the way. The men still had a finish.
Oh, jeez.
Otis broke a ladder, because, you know, big guy. And then we lost a couple of wrestlers in this match.
Yeah. Ray died.
Boy, did we ever.
Aleister Black. I sent you guys that thing that I found on Twitter. Did you see it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
We lost Rey Mysterio. We lost Aleister Black. So, you know.
The side of the building.
Yeah.
Somebody, whoever that was, really quickly taking the climactic scene from Die Hard and putting Ray's face on top. As he's falling.
If you actually look at Aleister Black's Twitter, he's now just a ghost.
Man, for a second, I didn't think he went off the part of the wall that went down to like another part of the roof. For half a second, I'm like, did he just go off the real edge? And then they zoomed out. I'm like, oh no, he's fine.
So you had, AJ up on the ladder. You had Corbin up on the ladder, battling for the briefcase. It's out of the hook. They both are holding on to it.
And this is where I figure, okay, we're going to be right. Those of us who picked AJ, because AJ was the last second addition. And we all said, well, you know, it's going to be Aleister Black unless it's AJ who's named as the replacement. And well, here it is.
Elias showed up.
Nice to see you, Elias. Play a song for me, will you?
He got revenge on Corbin. And then the briefcase fell into Otis's hands and, hey Mandy, he did it! Otis is the money in the bank winner.
Never saw that one coming.
Didn't we
say something last week about we didn't want to see the worm in a title match?
I can't remember.
I think we kind of sort of did.
Well, it's a good thing it's a caterpillar and not a worm, so we should all be fine.
Yeah, well, whatever. But yeah, never saw that one coming, did you?
No.
We did know that Vince was like really big on Otis as a character and was like personally like directing his ascension. I didn't think it would be like this.
Okay. So we didn't think it would be like this. Now I just was checking up on our intern. He does not have our picks yet. So you'll have to tune in Thursday for results. But I do have one set of picks that I need to mention.
Well, wait, is he stuck at work or something?
No, he's just lazy.
Well, I'm going to say that Matt is correct in what he said in chat room.
So this has been an interesting year, wouldn't we say?
You could say that.
Kinda, yeah.
Subway picked Asuka to win Money in the Bank. He also picked Otis.
Yeah. Shut up.
true story.
Who? But
Subway picked Otis.
Subway?
He picked Asuka and Otis.
Well, as Matt in the chat likes to say, in capital letters, holy shit.
So what is this world we're living in right now? If he's
hey, it's Subway's world. We're just living in it.
It's the world where the men's Money in the Bank winner cannot charge the ring because he's too damn big.
Damn.
Yeah, that moment where the champion is down and bleeding and you hear the music. It still takes him a while.
Okay, I can hear Sub picking Asuka as a legitimate pick, but Otis is, he's had one too many hits on that bong and he's goofing around.
I mean, to be fair, like, when we pick Asuka because it looked like they were putting her back into the singles division. It looked like they were trying to rebuild Asuka into what she used to be. She went back to, like, the nobody is ready for Asuka line.
So but didn't I call that? Sorry, go ahead.
In the women's division, we actually paid attention to like momentum and story direction and who they're big on right now.
Yeah.
We just went with our hearts on the men's.
Didn't I say Asuka was too obvious a choice?
But she said she was a good choice.
That she was an excellent choice, but too obvious. And so I went for, what we've basically been brainwashed to come to expect from WWE booking. And I picked, what's her name?
Oh, you picked Lacey, didn't you?
Yeah.
But they cooled off on Lacey a lot.
Mm. I can't remember everybody else who I picked, but I know I picked Lacey.
I would have them, but the intern is not ready. He's underperforming.
There you go. But that was a fun damn pay-per-view, the entire thing. And instead of one of those ones that starts strong and peter off, this one started good and got better.
Yeah, I was entertained from start to finish.
Yeah, 8 out of 10, would watch again.
Also, huge props to Rey Mysterio.
Oh God, yeah.
The man got thrown off a roof.
So did El.
He got sandwiched between Nia and Otis.
Oh,
he
right there.
Choked out by Shayna. He had to see Bruce Pritchard's brother love.
Plus a little back and forth with AJ where he's just like, come on, help me out. Help me out. And he's like, nah, dude. And just left him.
What did Ray say?
I think he said that's loco. And then
that's
just like,
exactly
off.
What he said. Yeah. Those of you who don't speak Spanish, he said, that's crazy.
He did it. Yeah. He did a good job of like, Ray did a good job of working with what he was given, doing all those like little comedy spots and like, He delivered exactly the way he should have with them all.
Mm-hmm.
The small theme of torturing AJ Styles throughout this match.
So, God damn.
This was an enjoyable show. It went 2.5 hours. A lot shorter than probably everyone thought. That's okay. That's good once in a while. Because who needs to be a long show in front of no crowd?
Well, yeah, they didn't need to give us a 3-hour spectacular, hyper spectacular tonight. But that's the kicker. Tomorrow night's Raw is going to be longer than this pay-per-view was.
I never even thought of that until you mentioned it.
But that's the show.
That is the show for tonight. Hey, those of you who did watch Money in the Bank, we really sincerely hope that you enjoyed it as much as we did. And no word of a lie, no bullshit. Kill the music.
What?
We just got the
I know, picks. Just you can do it, talk over the thing, because I asked for them.
Oh, all right, hang on, let me just call them up here.
I can tell you. Omega and Casey, 6-1, Tim was 5-2.
Fair enough.
So the important thing is that we beat Tim.
There you go.
Yes, it's a very rare occasion, Casey, don't get used to it.
I mean, I never get used to winning.
Especially if I'm booking the show.
Dude, not just you, anybody.
Yeah, and we're not going to be talking about that other promotion because I hate that guy passionately. Anyway.
Hey, I'm just trying to break Brian Myers' streak. That's all I'm going for.
There you go. Well, you better start by breaking bread. Speaking of which, tomorrow, immediately following Raw, the Raw Post Show.
7 p.m. Eastern, we'll talk everything Monday Night Raw.
There you go. Fortnite with friends.
Thursdays and Saturdays, one after The Rack, one before CB Radio.
Did you say The Rack? Did you know that is a multi-time, multi-award winning live webcast? Thursday nights, 10 o'clock Eastern, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, www.wildtalkradio.com. Did you also know it's hosted by the multi-time award-winning Lindsay Ward?
Yes, Thursday night we'll talk NXT, we'll talk Money in the Bank, we'll probably talk about the Undertaker Last Ride special and more. It's The Rock Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, Rock Radio Show on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Hey, if you're in a following, we'd follow Lindsay on Twitch, twitch.tv/Lindsay Ward. Because if she gets up to affiliate, you all get fish butts.
Fish butts, there you go. That sounds like a...
it's an emote for chat.
Okay, sounds even better. Saturday night's midnight-ish, or as close as I get to it, another edition of the Wild, Wacky, Unusual, and Illegal in 48 States, CB Radio.
Last night, for Mother's Day, we had an interesting Grammar the Great debate. Yo mama jokes.
Yo mama so fetch when she sits around the house. She really sits around the house.
What we're doing this week? I don't know yet. CBRadioLive.com, GreaterThanGreatDebate.com, every Saturday night, midnight-ish.
There you go. We can't guarantee another edition of Wrestle Talk Radio next Sunday night because we don't know if there's going to be anything to talk about. Keep peeled. It's a social media all week long. As the week develops, you're going to find out, and we'll make sure that if we do a webcast, we'll have it put together and ready to go in plenty of time for you to find out on social media. So keep checking daily. Where? Well, on the Twitter, at Wild Talk Radio. On the Twitter, at WTR Sunday Night. On Facebook, at facebook.com/group/Wild Talk Radio Network. At facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. At facebook.com/what is it?
WTR Sunday Night.
That's right. Don't you forget it. Follow me on the Twitters at Flames Forums. This is where I intentionally say some wrong things just because I know Rock is reading my tweets and he lies about it. But I also talk about a lot of other stuff. If you want to get the serious side, controversial, no holds barred, politically incorrect, follow me at Voice Insanity. Those are my two Twitter things, my two social media things. I got nothing on Omega.
I mean, I have a ton, but there's only a few that I plug here. But if you do want to follow what I get up to over the course of the week, you can follow me on most social media by the same name, except over on Facebook, in which case, go look for TJ Reviews. Everywhere else, you can find me under the name TJ Omega. That is the Twitter handle. That is the YouTube channel with over 1,000 videos worth of content. And for a few extras, there is tjomega.net.
There you go. And, of course, if you want to follow our independent pro wrestler, Keishi Matsunaga, he'll tell you how.
You can find me on Twitter at Kyle Driver. For those who haven't already heard me say it, it's basically the word pile driver, and you replace the P with a K.
There you go, and that's all there is to it. That being said, I think we're done for the week, guys.
By the way, if you have Amazon Prime, link it to Twitch accounts called Twitch Prime. You can subscribe for free and support the channel. Also use credit card Rocket Stock in the Fortnite item shop. Hashtag ad, hashtag epic partner. And one quote to end with. Otis, if I get the briefcase, we're challenging for the tag team titles.
Say what?
Interview with Digital Spy earlier this week.
There you go. All right, guys. Have yourselves a fantastic week. And on the way out, I'm sure that everybody here would like to say to everybody listening who happens to be a mom, very happy Mother's Day to all of you. All of my people like they gon' love us. Hey, trust me, don't mess with my shoe tie. We done did all that on the cross for the moonlight. Number one spot, we the best, cause the loot time. Cause we gonna get them checks in the future. WildTalkRadio.com.